The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today.
Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but what does that really mean? We see all the pink, but that's basically all we see. We never really drill down into what we should be doing about breast cancer, so I thought we could do that today. My guest today is Lindsay Bridges. She's the executive director at the Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition, so let's get it started. Welcome to the pink Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, get it. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 90 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, very happy to have you on, Lindsay Bridges. You are the executive director at the Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We know that. And I think we all see the pink, but we don't really deep dive into exactly what the pink means. So I thought today would be a good day to do this. We've done here at the radio station 101.1 The Beat, we've done Sister Strut numerous times, which highlights particularly Black women struggle with breast cancer. But of course, breast cancer is not, it knows no one race. It is across the board. But just certain people struggle with it more than others. So just with that said, what is the first thing, the most basic thing we need to know about breast cancer and breast cancer prevention, most importantly?
Yes. Yes. Well, you make a good point. Breast cancer doesn't discriminate. It's across all races and ethnicities. One in eight women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, invasive breast cancer. And then every 3 minutes, a woman is given a new diagnosis.
Wow.
And I think the most important takeaway here is just that prevention is key. Your yearly mammogram, and you can get, I tell everyone, you can get a mammogram for free in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. There are resources for it. So get your yearly mammogram. That's your key to prevention.
Don't let whether or not, you know, your economic status. And that's good that Tennessee does that, because we've had discussions on my podcast numerous times before about healthcare and how bad healthcare just is generally in the United States of America. But that is good to know that if you live in the state of Tennessee, you can get a mammogram once a year. What are some of the contributing factors to whether somebody is higher risk at breast cancer more than somebody else?
Absolutely. So higher risk, obviously, will be if you have a family history. It's interesting, though, like a very small percentage of women who are diagnosed actually have a familial history, but the ones who do in that 13% have a double risk of being diagnosed. So obviously, you know, familial history, lifestyle, and like exercise and nutrition. Oncologists are always saying that this is also, if you live a sedentary lifestyle and are, you know, eating not good quality food, this is another contributing factor. And so, and just access to good healthcare is another, I hate to say it. It's another one of those.
When we talk about good food, and we've covered that on my podcast several times before as well. What does that really mean? Does that mean vegetables? Does that mean a higher grade of like an organic vegetable? Does that mean, you know, less, you know, yellow number 7 in your diet? What exactly does that mean if we're trying to avoid cancer?
Well, all the research that's been done is basically you're trying to avoid like fast foods and highly processed foods. And like you said, yellow number 7, and,
you know, red number 4.
Red number 4. You know, but you're really trying to avoid those like your high sugar levels in your diet, just anything that's just overly processed, and also like white flour and things like that. Just looking more at like nutrient dense food.
Okay.
So that's definitely because once your diet, it's interesting because when I worked at St. Thomas for several years in outpatient oncology, once you're diagnosed, they start doubling down on talking with you about nutrition during treatment.
Right.
So it's a little more reactive, whereas it could have been a little more proactive.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't know if you'll know the answer to this question or not. It's okay if you don't. But do we have a higher in the United States? Do we have a higher rate of breast cancer or cancers than some other countries? Because I know like there are some things that they allow in the food chain here that are not allowed in some European countries or other countries. And so I don't know what the cancer rate is, breast cancer, any cancer rate is here compared to the rest of the world.
You know, I really don't know. Yeah. I do know that here in the U.S., like you said, we do allow a lot more carcinogenic items to be placed in our food than, say, in like Europe and other parts of the world. But I don't really know the difference in the rates.
Yeah. It's interesting, something to look at, I think, to kind of see what kind of spikes and uptick in cancer, particularly breast cancer in the case that we're talking about now. The smoking. Is that a risk for breast cancer?
Smoking.
I think we think of lung, but not necessarily breast when it comes to.
Well, smoking is a risk factor for pretty much any cancer.
Yeah.
It's a huge risk factor for breast cancer and any of your GYN cancers. And obviously for lung cancer as well. So it's definitely a no-no.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't start and quit if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I told you this before we got started, is my wife is because of hereditary issues. She is at high risk, and they keep, she goes in, I think, for 6 month mammograms, mm-hmm. and, she did an MRI just the other day, but nothing's been detected. So that is good. So if you catch it early, early is always better, correct? But does that mean absolutely you're safe if you catch it earlier? Or can it still be pretty quick to progress and spread even if you catch it in its earlier phases?
Well, I'm not a medical professional, but early is always better.
Yeah.
Early is always better. And just from many years working in oncology, I do know that and working with breast specialists, that getting treatment plans started immediately, be it surgery, chemotherapy, whatever the first line of defense is quickly as possible to get started.
What are those lines of defense? So if it looks like you're catching it really early, it hasn't spread, is it just like radiation or chemo? And then you hope that gets it and it doesn't come back? Or is it necessarily, you know, surgery right off the bat? What do those look like?
This is my non-medical assessment, but breast cancer, it can be hormone driven, or it can be, or it can be environmentally driven. And so it really, and each tumor gets tested to see if it has those markers in it for hormones.
Okay.
And then the doctors typically build their treatment plan around that. So it just depends on, they wait for that genetic testing and tumor marking to come back before they make a decision about how they're going to proceed forward with treatment. Everything depends on that, really.
I think most people think like cancer, it's like one kind of cancer, and the kind that you have that we're talking about is breast cancer. But then you're saying they drill down even more and separate it into different subgroups of breast cancer. You've got a hormonal or an environmental one, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay. And it's really been in like the last two decades that they have really made these advances with the genetic testing and with the tumor marking. And so, and with the just testing the tumors to see what they're made up of. And this has really helped doctors better target treatments, which is great. It's definitely not the breast cancer of the 1970s. Treatment has changed.
And I think that people have to realize, especially young people, that anybody can catch this. I remember I had a friend from college who in her 20s had breast cancer, and she was a personal trainer, ate great, exercise literally every day, was probably, you know, at that point she was competing. She was like 3-5% body fat, you know what I mean? And still you would think that she would be the last person to get anything, much less something like breast cancer. And I think young people are always kind of, and I know I was and probably still am, kind of blind to the fact that something can get you.
Absolutely. Well, we all think that way when we're younger.
I'm 44 and I still kind of think that way sometimes. Like, I don't have to worry about that. But I really should worry about that a little more, you know?
Right. And I mean, and that's why, you know, women can't get a mammogram until they're 40 unless you have, you know, risk factors like your wife. Right. And I have several friends who also go regularly and have been going since they were in their 30s. But for just the woman who has no risk factors, we don't even get to start getting mammograms till age 40. So that's why it's so important to educate the younger population to start doing your self breast exams at home, even starting in your 20s, because it can happen.
Yeah.
And self breast exams also are another preventive measure that more women need to know this.
And so, when you're doing a self-breast exam, you're feeling for something. If you feel something that just doesn't feel like it's supposed to be there,
call your doctor.
Call your doctor.
Call your doctor immediately.
Yeah. Yes.
And so most female doctors, most OBs will do an exam once a year.
Right.
But that's once a year.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. So it's always important to starting young in your 20s to try to remember to do that at least once a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I think that you don't, I mean, once a month when you're 25 years old, I can just see I know 25 year old me would not have done that at all, but would probably have needed to, you know?
Like, right, right. Yeah. I can't say that 25 year old me was consistent with that either, but you know, I guess I've worked in oncology for so long in my social work career that, some things I did do. And so, but it's important. It's just another way that the younger female population can be aware.
What would you say the number one misconception is about breast cancer that you've seen?
I think the number one misconception with breast cancer or any cancer is that you're going to die.
Okay.
And I think people hear that word and are terrified.
Right.
And we've made so many medical advances over the last couple of decades that it's not a death sentence.
Yeah.
There are ways for it to be curative. There are ways to live with it. And so it's not to look at this as a death sentence.
Yeah, I think the same thing I think if you're around my age, I think you kind of feel the same way about HIV and AIDS too.
Yes.
Because HIV and AIDS, when in the 80s and early 90s, it was like, if you got it, you die, period.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now we see that, no, you really don't at this point. Like,
right.
It's not a death sentence. It's
pretty much at this point, it's a manageable one or two pills and you can live comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We went through the self-breast exam. We went through doctors, you know, going to see your doctor yearly at least. And then, you know, if you have it runs in your family, you know, you're at high risk. We went through the high risk factors. What else do we need to know about breast cancer? Are we missing anything here?
Well, like what you said about having the family connection, it's important that if you do have especially a first degree relative, like a mom, grandma, sister who has had it, it's important for you to find a way to get genetic testing. And typically all you have to do is ask your doctor.
Right.
And they will recommend you to a genetic testing. Most of those are covered by insurance, especially if they can show that you have a first degree relative. Medicare can get tricky. You do have to find a provider that will accept Medicare. But yes, so absolutely, genetic testing is very important. Another important thing to know about the state of Tennessee is that we do have the breast and cervical screening program through Tennessee.gov. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is, if you are concerned or if you've reached 40, you know, or if you find something, you know, during a self-exam, if you are uninsured or what we call underinsured, and if you reach the 250% of the federal poverty level for your household and you're a Tennessee resident, you can just go to the website, www.tn.gov, and I just tell everybody, just go to the search bar and type in breast and cervical, and it's first thing that'll pop up.
Right.
And you can look on there, and the phone number is there for you to call and find a local clinic.
Okay.
There are like tons of clinics in every county that partners with the breast and cervical screening program where you can go and get free mammogram, free pap smear. And then if something questionable is found, you can move forward with diagnostic services, and that will be covered. If something is found that is precancerous or cancerous, you will apply for 10 care, and then you can move forward with treatment.
Got it.
And so that's just another important thing to know, is that the resources are out there. And a thank you to Pfizer for sponsoring Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition so that we could be here today. So the Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition, we're a nonprofit organization. We assist individuals, men or women, throughout the state of Tennessee who have been diagnosed with breast cancer and who are in active treatment. We provide up to $1,000 of emergency financial assistance. We can help with mortgage or rent, utilities, electricity, and some medical expenses, and also lymphedema supplies.
Nice.
So if you are in treatment and you are needing assistance, you can call our phone number at 615-377-8777. And we can get an application to you to apply for assistance.
There it is. Lindsay, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. We appreciate it. We all appreciate it. We really do.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Lindsay Bridges. You can follow the Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition at TN Breast Cancer. And while you got the app open, may as well follow me as well at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite101. 101. Brand new episode drops next week, so make sure that you are subscribed and following this podcast. If you're listening on a platform that lets you rate and review, go on and throw your boy 5 stars or whatever the hell they call it on that platform and write me a good review as well. Definitely appreciate that. My guest next week is going to be Michael Meadow-Webster on to talk about the environment. Maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. We'll talk to Michael Meadow-Webster about that next week. Make sure you got your notifications on and ready to receive all this new content that I got coming down the line for the rest of the year. With that said, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. Bye.